This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. After a dramatic shootout with police in New Jersey today, a 28-year-old man is in custody, charged with the bombings in New York and New Jersey over the weekend. Ahmed Khan Rahami is described as a naturalized citizen of Afghan descent who had been living with his family and helping run their fast food restaurant in New Jersey. Just to recap, on Saturday morning, a pipe bomb exploded near the course of a charity race in New Jersey. No one was hurt. Later that day, 29 people were hurt in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan when a pressure cooker bomb exploded. A second bomb found in that area failed to detonate. Then on Sunday night, a backpack containing a pipe bomb was found near the train station in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Law enforcement officials detonated one of those devices early today using a robot. No one hurt there. We are still learning more specifics about the explosives used, but pressure cookers in particular have been configured into improvised explosive devices for years, including in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombings. Joining us to talk more about this is Bob Morris. He's a retired Army colonel and founder of the Global Campaign Against Improvised Explosive Devices. He joins us from WHRO in Williamsburg, Virginia. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me on.
So what do you make of the use of pressure cookers in New York? What does that suggest?
It just suggests a further expansion of the use of these devices by folks who would seek to do harm because they're very easy to build. You can buy everything you need at a local store. It takes a lot of the complex science out of making an explosive device when you use a pressure cooker.
You know, we heard from our governor, Governor Baker, today, and he said, just go online. One-page document shows you how to make some of these. Is it still that easy to do this? Is it really that simple? We heard that often during the marathon bombings, and I'm wondering, you know, I guess if it's that easy, sort of what can be done about it, right?
Well, that's correct. It's still that easy. In fact, it's even easier. There are more and more sites out there that do that. We recently have sent out alerts to various local schools because what's happened is it's become so proliferated on the internet now that a lot of juveniles can just go out there and look at how to build different types of devices out of different things, and there's actually websites set up where people talk about how they increased the blast capacity of certain things. What can be done about it is actually an interesting and complex question. We have over the years attempted to get Congress and the UN to take action to curb the flow of what's called precursor devices, the components that you could use to make an IED, and not really had much success because for whatever reason, politicians, especially as you saw following the Boston Marathon bombing, are reluctant to get engaged and in some cases even acknowledge there's an IED problem.
But in that case, we were talking about things like nails and BBs. I mean, those were the ingredients to make an IED, right?
They are, but there's also the knowledge of how to do it and some of the components that actually cause the blast. Since there's been such pressure put on purchasing actual explosives, and that's very monitored, now you can make them out of fertilizer, peroxide, and other homemade devices. The more complex problem is how you stop the proliferation of information. If you look at an analogy with what happened with pedophiles and folks with child pornography, the internet community came together, and some of the big folks in there, the Googles of the world, the YouTubes, and that made a concerted effort to police themselves and shut a lot of that down, or identify and turn in suspects in those areas. Though that has not yet happened to the same degree involving IEDs, and it should.
I want to go back to just sort of making these types of pressure cooker bombs, if we're talking about those, because there were different types in Manhattan and New Jersey. There were also different types in Boston, that, as we learned during the trial. But one of the things that you mentioned of the explosives put into these pressure cookers, in Boston, it was essentially believed that gunpowder from fireworks, that was the material used in the pressure cookers at the marathon finish line. In Manhattan, the New York Times is reporting that a compound called tannerite may have been used in those pressure cooker bombs. What do we know about that?
Well, it really, to follow the lead of the law enforcement up in New York right now, it wouldn't be appropriate for anybody to speculate on what the contents of those were. One of the things you saw in the Boston bombings was that because it took so long to get the suspects, there were certain gaps in information, and in certain areas people started to fill that in with wild speculation. But if it was Panorex that was used in there, that's also a readily available compound.
Panorex or tannerite?
I'm sorry, Panorite. Mm-hmm. Is it's also a readily available compound. It's a type of pyrotechnic.
So you think that there should be some sort of regulation that would restrict the flow of information online about how these things happen, which, again, was something we heard in the Boston Marathon bombing trial, that this information was readily available online to teach people how to make these types of devices.
That's correct. And it could be done without any real infringement on people's human rights. I mean, you've got the Googles of the world and the YouTubes of the world and the folks that do a lot on the internet that could easily assist in identifying traces or tendencies of people when they start to put these things on. I mean, you've got these hacking groups that go out there, and most recently after Paris, a lot of them went out and attacked the ISIS sites. So, you know, folks like this could go down and shut down these sites, which obviously have no better reason than to spread information on how people can hurt other people. Hmm.
During the marathon bombing trial, an FBI explosives analyst said that he could not determine where the marathon bombs were assembled. And then testimony during the trial indicated that they were likely set off by model car controllers. Now, again, we don't know exactly what happened in New York, but the initial reports suggested cell phones had been used to set off these bombs. I mean, if it were cell phones, does that suggest a degree of sophistication above what we had experienced here in Boston?
It does. It indicates a slight increase in the sophistication involved, because when you're talking about a radio controller, all you really do is, for example, a radio controller on a car merely activates a motor, so it's an on-off switch. There's a little more sophistication involved in calling a cell phone and having the cell phone actually start a detonator. I mean, in an explosion, you have an igniter, which kicks off a small charge, which then kicks off the larger charge. So in this case, translating a very low voltage for the speaker or ringer on a cell phone into something that would set off that initial charge to cause the chain effect of the explosion takes some more sophistication. It's technology that's been used for years over in the Middle East on IEDs against our troops, but it would be a ramping up of the technology involved in this in the U.S.
I'm wondering, I know that you have been spearheading efforts to try to take some sort of action against IEDs. Have things moved at all, particularly since the Boston Marathon bombings?
No, they really haven't. Not at the congressional level. At the local level, they have. And I think you saw in New York today some dramatic results of that. The alert that went out, the involvement of social media, the two homeless men who were really big heroes in this, who saw something suspicious and identified it to police, that's happened at the local level. At the national level, from the political perspective and what the laws and regulations that can help with this, there's been very little real movement.
All right. Bob Morris, a retired Army colonel and founder of the Global Campaign Against Improvised Explosive Devices. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, how Massachusetts educators are rethinking how to talk about the history of race in America. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.